Our scripture lesson is again taken from the book of Philippians. Since Paul loved the Philippians so much, we're going to love them too. I'll be reading from chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. Prepare your heart for the reading of God's holy word. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
Could I have the children join me up front, please? Do I stink today? Is that it? I showered this morning, I promise. There you go, Johnny.
Getting as far away from you as possible, Johnny.
Morning, Daniel.
Daniel and Joshy love you.
That'll be fun. Now, how is everybody this morning? Good. Most of you are in school, right? I know a lot of you, or some of you are younger than school age, but are some of you in kindergarten or first grade or second grade already? Who's in school already? All right. You've been in school too long? All right, well, how... That's exactly where I was going with this, so I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm turning into my grandpa. I'm
right there. You're getting old? You've been in school so long?
So old.
Yeah, right? So, it sounds like you don't really like school then, Joshy.
I hate school.
You hate school? How about any of you guys over here? Do you like school? You love school?
I hate school.
You hate school? You girls, you like school? It's too much. It's pretty boring. Have you guys ever done anything to try to get out of school? Maybe convince your mom or dad that you didn't need to go to school?
I know how to get out.
You know how to get out? Go through the third grade window. All right, well.
Whoa.
I'm going to have to call the school and tell them to board up that window, I think. Well, just like you guys for school, there's some things in life that are pretty boring, or you could ask God. I bet God wants you to be in school so he can teach you all sorts of things. You don't want God to teach you math? Oh. Science? All right. Well,
Daniel,
just like you guys don't like school, there's lots of things that some of us don't like to do or want to try to get out of any way we can. And in our scripture lesson this morning, Paul is writing a letter to some of his friends, and he's writing from prison. Now, do you think Paul wants to get out of prison? Probably more than you guys wanted to get out of school, right?
Yeah.
Right.
School is prison.
Well, I guess you can make that comparison. Well, that would not go over well, I can guarantee it. But, so, in the scripture lesson, though, this morning, Paul does want to talk about getting out of prison, but he wants to get out for a very good reason. He wants to get out because he says then he can continue to help be the minister for Jesus Christ that he has been to the people of Philippi and to other people around, and he can continue to bless them and serve them any way he can. See, he wants to get out not so that he feels better and so that he doesn't have to deal with the pain and suffering that he's going through. He wants to get out so that he can continue to help people. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Well, Father God, we just thank you for the example of Paul, that he is looking to always further you and your kingdom. We pray that anything that we have to go through, that we can persevere and always look for ways that we can continue to serve you and to further your name on this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We've got a full basket of Tootsie Pops up here.
You know, as all of you know, John and I have two sons. They're both God-fearing, hard-working providers for their families. There are some glaring differences in the two, and I'm not really exactly sure how that happened, but that's another sermon. But one of the differences for them in their lives is the hands that they have been dealt in life as they have become adults. For Ian, the oldest, you know, he worked so very hard, and he seemed at every turn to be faced with an obstacle. When he graduated from college with a degree in aerospace engineering, he had to return to construction for a time because he couldn't get a job in his field. One thing would be resolved in his life just in time for the car to catch on fire or a flood to wipe out the foundation of their home. When they were just starting out, it just seemed like they couldn't catch a break. You know, it was just one thing after another, one trial after another. Now, for Greg, the youngest, he worked very hard and seemed at every turn to be blessed. He was offered a job a semester before he graduated. They waited 9 months for him to graduate from college and then go to Europe for 3 weeks. They paid off his college loans. When they were just starting out, Greg just seemed to always land on his feet. He would decide half-heartedly to pursue a goal, and lo and behold, it would be fulfilled. Greg, time after time, just seemed to find himself in win-win situations. No matter which way he went, he would come out ahead. You know, it's really great to be in win-win situations. It's really great when you're playing tic-tac-toe and your opponent cannot stop you from winning. You know what I'm talking about, right? Either way, you're going to get 3 in a row, no matter where they play, right? That's really a good feeling. It's great to come out ahead. As he explained in a letter to some friends, Paul said, "A few months from now, at my trial, Caesar's going to make a decision." You know, the Apostle Paul found himself in a situation in where he felt like the only thing that was going to happen is he was going to land on his feet. It was going to be a win-win thing for him. He said, you know, Caesar was going to make this decision, and Caesar was either going to let him live or he was going to put him to death. Paul said this was a win-win situation. Paul said either one was going to be great. And then we think, wait a minute. You know, that does not sound like a win-win situation to us. You know, and I know for me, it sounds like to me, you know, one of those things would really be far more highly preferable than the other thing, which would really be kind of at the bottom of my list of the things that I would want to happen. He's going to either be put to death, or he's going to be allowed to live, and he's kind of saying this is a win-win situation. We have to ask why. Paul would reply, because I'm going to get a reward for something. And then whatever Caesar decides is going to be great. Paul would say, I'm going to get God's final stamp of approval, so whatever he decides is going to be a win-win situation for me. Now, inquiring minds want to know, what is it that Paul is about to do that he expects some kind of reward for? And how can Caesar's decision be a win-win situation for him either way? You know, what would make a person say, you know, I can live or I can die, I'll take either one? What would enable us to look at what seem to be such drastically opposite outcomes and say, hey, you know, either one, I'm good. You know, it's a win-win situation for me. Well, the answer to these questions is in the scripture message this morning. In this letter, we know Paul was writing to some dear friends. For 2 years, he had been under house arrest, chained 24/7 to one of Caesar's personal bodyguards, awaiting a trial on trumped-up charges. But being chained in house arrest was better than being dumped in a dungeon. So Paul had wanted to write and thank his friends in Philippi for sending him the money that paid the rent for the home in which he was staying in. And he also wanted to let them know that what's happened to him has really served to advance the gospel in two very significant ways. First, Caesar's bodyguards are being won to the Lord. Remember, we talked about that last week. Second, local pastors in Rome were preaching more boldly than ever before. These were good things. So in addition to thanking them for their gift, Paul wanted his friends to know just how excited he was about how the way things have turned out for the gospel. But then he added, I'm also pretty happy about the way things have turned out for myself. And he's saying, you know, I rejoice about what's happened for the gospel. You know, people being won, pastors being bold. But I'm also pretty excited, pretty pumped about what this has meant for me. I'm going to get a great reward for something. And then Caesar's going to make a decision. And I'm going to be a winner either way. But what was it that he was going to do that was going to bring him heaven's reward? And how is it possible that whether he lived or died, it was a win-win situation? Well, if you remember last week in Philippians 1:18, Paul described what had happened to advance the gospel. Christ was being preached to Caesar's bodyguards. He was being preached more boldly by local pastors. And because of that, Paul was rejoicing. And then he went on to say, but I have another reason for rejoicing. Because what has happened to me is also going to bring me a great reward. He said, in addition to advancing the gospel, my circumstances are going to bring me some divine approval. And that's what Paul means when he began the end of verse 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Now, the word that Paul used for deliverance is the word in their language for salvation. Paul was saying, what happened to me is leading towards the great day in heaven where God is going to give me the final stamp of approval and I'm going to get the final stamp of salvation. His salvation was going to be complete. The Bible uses salvation in three different ways. We have past salvation, we have present salvation, and we have future salvation. The Bible speaks about our past salvation as the time when we believed that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The time when we trusted his death as payment for our punishment. That is our past salvation. We were forever saved from hell. And we were given eternal life in that moment where we stepped over the line and say, I'm throwing in with Christ. That's our past salvation. But the Bible also talks about our present salvation. Our present salvation means that we are being saved right now from the power of sin and that we are being protected from the hatred of Satan, praise God. Okay, that's our present salvation. And finally, the Bible talks about our future salvation, and that's going to be when we're going to be with the Lord, and there's going to be no more pain, and there's going to be no more sorrow, and it's just going to be, we're just going to be in the presence of the Lord, smiling, loving, and celebrating. Boy, I am really looking forward to that. I always laugh when I hear people say, you know, well, you know, I like the Lord, but I really don't like to go to church. And I'm like, oh, man, then you're not going to like heaven because it's going to be church 24/7, you know? Yeah. They're like, I got some bad news for you. But anyway, Paul was looking at that future day of freedom and deliverance when God was going to reward him and God was going to bless him and he was going to give that final stamp of approval to his life. And that's when he said, what's happened to me will turn out for my deliverance or salvation. He meant everything that's happened was going to contribute to his reward in heaven. In fact, we don't think about this, but Paul was actually quoting Job. Because you see, when Job's three friends were sitting around him saying to him, Job, you have to have done something wrong. You know, these terrible things would not have happened to you unless you had done something wrong. These business failures and these family deaths and these health issues, they wouldn't have happened to you unless you had done something wrong. And then Job shoots back at him, you are wrong. Someday I'm going to be standing in front of God and you're going to see how wrong you are. You're going to see everything turning out for my salvation. God's going to put his stamp of approval on me. He's going to bless me and he's going to reward me. And all of this is leading towards my deliverance, my salvation. Those were Job's words, and Paul is quoting them. In other words, Paul was rejoicing because he expected to be rewarded in heaven for something he was about to do. That whatever Caesar chose to do, it was going to be win-win. But you have to wonder, what was he about to do? What did he think was going to happen in these next few months that was going to result in heaven's approval? What was he going to do that was going to bring him this great reward? It's in verse 19 through 20. Paul explained that he knew that he was going to have a chance to witness for Christ at his trial. It's going to be a big one, going to be a public one, and he had a sense that he was going to have this opportunity to present Christ more publicly than Christ was ever presented before. When Paul said, "And I eagerly expect this," in verse 20, he actually made up a word. He made up a word in his language. He took three words and he strung them together into a brand new made up word. And his made up word was "my head away looking." Now, what he meant was, I am turning my head away from everything else and I am focusing intently only on what is ahead. And my anticipation, he added, is that he was going to come through with flying colors. He knew he would not be ashamed. In other words, he was saying, I'm going to present a strong case. I'm going to present a bold case. And I am not going to wimp out. I am going to be strong. In verse 20, again, he says, and I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed. He knew that he was not going to be ashamed of his performance in the courtroom. He was not going to be a loser. Instead, he said in verse 19, through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I eagerly expect and anticipate that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Paul knows that at his trial, he is going to have this opportunity that was not given before, to witness boldly for Christ in a very public way. You see, Paul is not like somebody who carries a picture around in their wallet. And if you ask them to see it, they go, oh, you want to see that picture? Oh, you want to see that picture of Christ? Well, yeah, I think I have a picture of him here somewhere. You know, oh, yeah, here he is. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. It's a bit beat up. It's a little old, but maybe you can make him out. Okay, that was not Paul, okay? Paul has this life-size sandwich board picture of Christ. He's carrying around in his life. He's carrying it all the time. You can hardly see Paul behind it. His whole life is Christ. Christ died for him. Christ chose him. Christ freed him from the past. Christ called him to his eternal home. Christ was his Lord, and he was going to make sure everybody knew it. And now he has a chance to witness for Christ in a more public way than ever before. So as far as Paul's concerned, after he has this chance to witness for Christ in this really public way, hey, he did his job. Caesar can make whatever decision he wants. After he witnesses for Jesus, whatever happens to his physical body is fine. Whether the trial leads to death or whether it leads to life, it's a win-win. If Caesar released him, he could go on serving Christ. If Caesar put him to death, he'd finally get to be with the Christ he loved. Paul landed on his feet. He was landing on his feet. So look how he put it in verses 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So whether it leads to life or death, he says, whether I'm released or sentenced, either way is fine with me. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, in verse 21 and following, Paul described that it was such a great situation, it was such a win-win situation, that if you asked him which one that he would choose, he would have trouble choosing which one he wanted. He just would have trouble making up his mind. So if you gave Paul his druthers, I'd probably pick to go be with Christ. On the other hand, which would serve God's purposes more? Probably staying here and serving the churches longer, he says. So as Paul thought about it, he was pretty sure that's what God was going to decide, which meant that Caesar was going to release him and that he would get to visit his friends again. Now we look at Paul and we think, how in the world do you get to the point that Paul is at, where you are as happy to die and be with Christ as you are to stay here on earth and serve his purposes? How do you get there anyway? You know, to live is Christ, and to die, better yet. Like, how do you get to that point? We're not there. I mean, I don't have a mouse in my pocket, but I think I can safely say, well, let me just say this. I'm not there. You know, there have been times, at moments when I have been there, there have been times, you know, sometimes I would go to bed at night and I'd think, oh, man, it doesn't get any better than this. You know, Lord, today would be a good day to die. There have been those times when I have said those words in my prayers and I have meant them. But that usually passes, you know. And I decide later, you know, I'm really kind of glad I didn't die. I'm nowhere close to where Paul was. You know, I'm usually, Lord, I'm really glad to know I'm coming someday, but I'm in no big hurry. You know, no rush. I'd kind of like to stay down here for a little while. I don't know if you guys are there. That's where I am. You know, to me is live to get engaged, marry, raise a family, work and retire and see the Great Wall of China. That's kind of where I'm at, you know. To die, well, it's nice to know that there's nothing to fear, you know, that it's all taken care of, and I'm really happy about that, and if you don't know that, then we need to talk, but you know, I'd really like to, you know, kind of stay down here a little while longer. I am a long way from to live is Christ and to die is better yet. I'm a long way from that. How did Paul get to the point where he saw it as a win-win? Well, two things happened, and the first thing is, I think Paul saw a clear picture of what death is. And I think that that made him willing for it to happen. He saw what death really meant for a Christian, and I think he recognized that it would be great. We can see his understanding of death in the word that he used for it in verse 23. The word he used for death in verse 23 is to depart. And he says, I am torn between the two, Paul says. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Now, the word he uses for depart in his language was a word that was used to describe breaking up camp and heading home. It was also used to describe the loosening of lines at a pier to let a ship sail. Now imagine how you feel after a long time camping, breaking up camp. Enough mosquitoes, enough cold showers, enough bear poking around in your food at night, you know, enough freezing nights, enough sleeping on the ground. Let's pack this stuff up and head for home because it is oh so much better at home. I want to be in my own bed, okay? Or let's just sail into the sunset and head for home. That's beautiful imagery. We know how to, we feel that when we are away from home. We all love to go home. Am I right? Well, that's how Paul saw it. He wanted to go home. He wanted to be with Christ. And when you see how great it's going to be, who wouldn't want to go? So first of all, Paul clearly saw what death meant for a Christian. But I think the second reason that Paul could say to live is to serve Christ and to die is to be with Christ is because Christ was everything to him. Christ was his life, Christ his eternity, Christ was his passion. And when Christ takes his rightful place on the throne of your heart, whether you serve him, or whether you go to see him, you're going to land on your feet because it's a win-win situation. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know who we are, and we get so distracted. And we pray, Father God, that you would remind us what our priorities are. And that when you are at the top of our list, that the rest of our lives fall together like a puzzle. And we pray, Lord God, that we would lay down all of the distractions of life. And that we would see Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen.